runasradio.com. You are listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 246 with guest Rodney Buki, recorded Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. You're listening to Run As Radio, and we're into 2012. Good things are happening. We're always, always busy and looking forward to a great set of conferences this year and many different things going on as technology continues to evolve. I have a great guest with me today. His name is Rodney Buki. Been on the show before, formerly of Microsoft Canada, these days working for CMS Consulting in Toronto, Ontario, and focused on Private Cloud and System Center 2012. Welcome, Rodney. Welcome back.
Thanks, Richard. It's good to be back.
It wasn't that long ago we talked. It was in, I think we were in Toronto together for, was it a Tech Days? I can't remember.
Yeah, was it the end of October, beginning of November sometime?
And how did I miss you leaving Microsoft? You must have just snuck out the door one day.
Yeah, no, it was a little over a year ago. Just decided to, sneak out, I guess. I don't think, I wasn't high enough to warrant, you know, a corporate press release saying that I've left the company. So easy to miss.
Yeah, you get to just go and have a life and do your thing, right?
Yeah, they might have sent an email internally. I'm not sure about that.
Right, right. And CMS, is that you or are you part of a larger group?
No, it's a larger group. It's a Toronto-based consulting and training company, and we do mostly public sector and enterprise work, and then we do a lot of training on Hyper-V and private cloud and system center, both in Toronto and across Canada.
I'm trying to get my head around the relationship between System Center 2012 and private cloud, because they seem like two totally separate topic areas.
Well, it's kind of funny, private cloud is this term that gets thrown around quite a bit. It means different things to different people, and there's really a lot of different technologies depending on the vendor and sort of the organization and what they have in place that sort of allows you to build, various versions of private cloud. And, from the Microsoft perspective, Hyper-V is sort of the virtualization platform, and System Center Virtual Machine Manager is kind of that piece that would kind of give you some sort of private cloud. With 2008, R2, you had the self-service portal, so you could do a little bit of, user self-service, and there was some automation that you can do with, or maybe not automation, but simplification that you could do with PowerShell scripts and templates and things like that to give a level of automation, but really wasn't kind of a complete solution. And with the 2012 products, it gets a lot better. Things like Virtual Machine Manager have been sort of expanded out to provide fabric management. So aside from just, managing the hypervisors and the virtual machines, now with VMM 2012, I can also manage my storage, manage my network load balancers, build up not only virtual machine templates, but things like service templates. So rather than having to deploy, a particular virtual machine, I can deploy a service, which might be like a web service with a web server front end, a SQL back end, and a load balancer in between there or somewhere in that, in the mix. So it gets a little bit more, complex and a little bit more powerful as we kind of move into the 2012 line of products. And there's changes with Configuration Manager 2012 and Operations Manager as well. In 2012, the entire suite's going through a refresh and being released simultaneously, I think around the MMS time frame, which is April, May this year, I believe.
Right.
And so it'll be sort of, right now we've got, sort of a mismatch of, System Center 2007 Configuration Manager, Operations Manager 2007, R2 Virtual Machine Manager 2008, Service Manager 2010, plus other products that Microsoft has bought, like Opalis.
Right.
that, you know, that are just sort of a lot of different pieces that are kind of stuck together, and they do work well together, but really kind of in 2012, they really come together quite well and really as a suite provide, you know, this sort of full capabilities of a private cloud.
And I do think they need to rationalize the System Center suite as a whole, but I'm going to stick on the private cloud side of this conversation because I think it's the one that more people are concerned about. The term has been bandied around a lot, and you just said a lot in a couple of minutes there. Obviously, virtualization factors hugely into any cloud implementation, but you also mentioned stuff like self-service, that people have to be able to simply say, I need to stand up this, and it happens. And this becomes something bigger than just a VM, but a whole suite of things, a web service, a storage piece, a networking piece, some kind of security set, but still talking about it as a single thing.
Yeah. And that's really kind of, you know, when I talk about private cloud and when we go out and talk to customers about private cloud, the actual foundation of private cloud is really Service Manager and Orchestrator or Opalis.
Right.
You know, the virtualization platforms have been there for a long time, and we're monitoring it with Operations Manager, and VMs are being deployed, applications are being deployed with Virtual Machine Manager, with Configuration Manager. Because from those tools, from the point of view of those tools, there really isn't any difference whether it's a virtual machine or a physical machine. Config Manager doesn't care. No. Operations Manager doesn't care. It just monitors it.
Right.
So a lot of the power comes with automation and self-service. And, you know, if we take a scenario of like a web server, you know, an organization running a web service, and that web service all of a sudden, you know, utilization goes through the roof. You know, maybe it's an online store and it's Christmas time, or it's Boxing Day or something like that. You know, the benefit of this private cloud is the ability, well, as workloads go up, you know, we can spawn additional instances, and, you know, performance will remain the same for the end users. And from a private cloud perspective, you know, we can do that now internally with, you know, things like Operations Manager doing the monitoring. And when a threshold is hit, you know, it triggers an alert in Service Manager. And that alert in Service Manager then triggers Orchestrator to run a specific policy, which will deploy, let's say, another virtual machine, another web server into that web farm. Mm-hmm. You know, and that server then gets deployed from a template in Virtual Machine Manager. Configuration Manager then, you know, brings it into a computer set, and that computer set then gets a specific application installed on it, and boom, it's online. And then, you know, if we've got DPM or some sort of backup technology in place, then Orchestrator can also automate adding that to the backup pool. And so we've got a lot of, you know, there's a lot of sort of pieces in play there, and a lot of organizations have things like Virtual Machine Manager and Operations Manager and even Configuration Manager. But really the kind of key and the next steps to getting to that private cloud are definitely Service Manager and Orchestrator.
Right, which I don't, those aren't install first, they're install later. So I think most people, it depends on where you come from. You either come at this from Config Man, which I think most people come at it that way, or you come at it from Ops Man, depending on what particular problem you were managing at the time.
Yeah, and it's definitely a layered approach to building this private cloud. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to phone up HP or IBM and say, well, you can, you know, I'm sure that, you know, HP and IBM will be happy to sell you a private cloud.
Yeah. HP was even plugging it at the last Tech Ed in Atlanta. Their whole, the lab space was run by an HP private cloud, and they had a little plexiglass box with a set of racks of machines in there. And that was their pitch. Would you like to buy one of these? I have a cloud in a box for you.
Yeah, and you can do that for, you know, if you've got $500,000 kicking around, you know, or you can take the infrastructure that you have and just sort of layer on the pieces that you're missing, right? So if you're, you know, if you've got Ops Manager in place, you know, it's very easy to sort of upgrade that and build upon that. Or most of the organizations that we deal with, you know, we'll have Ops Manager and Config Manager, and we're usually kind of first thing going in and doing Hyper-V and Virtual Machine Manager, and that's kind of the base, right? And then from that, you know, Service Manager kind of gets implemented, and there's a few different ways to sort of put that in place. You know, some places will use it, you know, initially just this incident response.
Right.
and then start to, you know, incorporate some of the problem management and change management technologies and features and functionality that's in there. And then once we get to that point where they're using it for, you know, change management and service requests and things like that, you know, then you can bring in something like Orchestrator to automate that so that, you know, user then has the ability to, you know, go to the self-service portal and create a service request for whatever it is that they need, and perhaps they need, you know, a virtual machine for something. Then Orchestrator can, you know, basically wait for approval. And then as an administrator, all I need to do is look at service requests that are in Service Manager, mm-hmm. and approve or deny those. And based on, you know, if it's approved, policy and Orchestrator will go off and kick off that process and create that virtual machine. You know, or if it's denied, then they get a, you know, pleasant email saying, sorry, your request has been denied.
Yeah, we're not doing that. But I think the interesting side of this is that you have all these products from an IT person's perspective. I have OpsMan and ConfigMan and ServiceMan all in place for the normal IT practices, or NSC-VMM, which I love as a tool, because I'm standing up VMs on my own anyway. I'm doing my monitoring with OpsMan. I store all my configurations in ConfigMan. Like, I'm doing all that stuff anyway. This just seems to be a set of features sitting on top of that. The big one being adding Orchestrator in this equation, that it's now telling SCVMM, hey, you need to light up 3 more instances of these different kinds of VMs, and here's the networking rules for it. And I mean, all of those bits firing off on themselves, it's a little spooky, but that's, I guess, what transforms this into cloud behavior rather than just regular service providing.
Yeah, that's really where we get, like, the, you know, the dynamic data center. You know, so Microsoft's been talking a lot, and, you know, when I worked at Microsoft, you know, starting in 2006 and even before that, you know, there's a lot of talk about this core I/O model, or right. core infrastructure optimization, and going from, you know, basic to standard to rationalized to dynamic. And this is really kind of, Orchestrator is what really kind of allows you to hit that dynamic stage and have a lot of those sort of, you know, the menial day-to-day tasks of, you know, going into Virtual Machine Manager because somebody requested a VM and I got to right-click and I got to spin up this new virtual machine and go through mini setup and do all this stuff.
Well, this is what we have in our notebooks, right? We basically got a manual orchestrator in, hopefully in OneNote, but most likely in a paper notebook, that if you want to stand up this web service, here are the 5 things you need in the order you need them.
Exactly. And it's just, you know, they're menial tasks, they're repetitive tasks, they're things that, you know, you get bored with and mistakes happen and, you know, they can be simply automated. And yeah, you can do a lot of that stuff with PowerShell. But, you know, I like to call Orchestrator scripting for dummies because I don't really need to know PowerShell. It helps a little bit and I can do some more advanced things if I do know PowerShell or .NET or can write a VB script. In reality, with Orchestrator, I'm just dragging and dropping different objects and different actions onto a page, very much like you would do in Visio, and just connecting the items and then creating, you know, whatever bits of information they need to subscribe to or they need to publish, in order to be able to complete the task. And it's very quite powerful. Now, a lot of people are, you know, a little kind of put off because of all this automation and like, oh no, what, you know, I need to see things, I need to do things.
Right.
But it's, you know, when you see how simple it is to build a policy or what I think they're called runbooks now in Orchestrator, and really the ability to automate these things that are just more of a hassle and kind of get in your way of the day to day things that you're trying to do. It really becomes a powerful solution to automating a lot of the basic IT processes. And then as you kind of get more comfortable with it and understand the tool a little bit more and your organization and what's going on within your infrastructure, you can automate more and more things with it.
Well, I think there's a booby trap in PowerShell that was the same booby trap we fell into with Perl scripts, which, you know, you get good with PowerShell and start building out these great scripts that maybe a couple of the people in your organization can use, but nobody else can maintain them. You know, and if you're after job security, okay, you got it. But what it really means is you get interrupted in your vacations. because the script breaks and nobody can do anything anymore. The idea that you would hand this to a tool that more people can understand and that more people can work with is not all this custom work. It's actually going to save you a ton of grief.
Yeah, because it's very easy. I mean, it's like going into an organization and having no idea of their infrastructure and looking at a Visio diagram and understanding what they have in place. It's the same thing. You open up the runbook, you see all the objects and all the actions and everything within the runbook designer. And, you know, everything's connected and, you know, it's a very easy graphical way of seeing what's going on. And also, you know, for troubleshooting and creating new runbooks, it's a very, very simplified process. It's a great tool that I think more people should definitely be looking into.
And you've hinted at something very interesting to me, which is that this is not something we buy all new, that we don't have to go buy cloud in a box and start gradually migrating our apps to private cloud, that I could take my existing infrastructure, because I'm already turning off machines as it is, right? As I start flipping more and more of my stuff to VMs, I have hardware just lying dormant anyway. So can we talk about the migration path of, I have existing sets of services and so forth, nothing is, quote, clouded at all. Can I really start picking these things up? How do I make them into templates and start moving them into Orchestrator?
I think one of the things that's a little bit misunderstood with Orchestrator is, you know, if you've got scripts in place, it's very easy to sort of migrate and bring those scripts into Orchestrator. But taking a look at like a typical organization where they have, let's say they've got Configuration Manager, Operations Manager, and Virtual Machine Manager already in place. You know, the deployment of Orchestrator is fairly straightforward. And then there's what they call integration packs or IPs.
Mm-hmm.
And really what an IP is it just brings in a set of objects and a set of actions that support that particular technology. So there's IPs for Operations Manager. There's an IP for Configuration Manager, Virtual Machine Manager, and all the different System Center tools. And there's also a lot of IPs for different technologies. So, you know, from HP has theirs, the Cisco, very much like a management pack for Operations Manager.
Mm-hmm.
And those integration packs then contain all those sort of customized objects and actions for that particular tool. So as an example, an Operations Manager integration pack would have, you know, actions to, you know, monitor an alert so that, you know, you have a runbook that has a policy in it, and that policy says, you know, monitor for this particular alert or for this class of alert. And then when this alert has been triggered, then do this and whatever that is. So you could have an alert in Operations Manager that says, you know, when utilization of this particular virtual machine hits 75%, it's going to create an alert. So we're going to monitor for that alert. And then when that alert is seen by Orchestrator, then we will, you know, go ahead and run the steps to connect to Virtual Machine Manager through the Virtual Machine Manager integration pack and, you know, select this template, deploy this VM, et cetera, et cetera.
This section of Run As Radio is sponsored by Secret Server, the password management software for IT admins. Secret Server helps you manage local admin passwords and service accounts the right way. Get your free 30-day trial for Secret Server at runasradio.com/secret-server. Are we talking now about automated elasticity, that I could actually set up metrics in OpsMan to show this is a web server that's getting overloaded, and then use Orchestrator to recognize that event, that this we're at an overloaded point, and light an additional instance of the web service, automatically alter the load balancing rules to add that server in? And then, of course, the trick here is go the other way. When load levels drop below 20%, start shutting down instances.
Exactly. And we can just shut them down and leave them shut down. And, you know, maybe we start them up later, or we can just discard them. And next time we need to increase, you know, grow scale, then we can go ahead and, you know, deploy a new virtual machine.
Right.
And even, you know, kind of stepping just down a little bit, you know, and going into something a little bit more simplified, like, you know, power management. So we've got a four-node Hyper-V cluster, and we've, you know, based on the utilization of the virtual machines, we've got them spread out evenly across the four nodes of the cluster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on weekends, holidays, you know, evenings, utilization goes down, maybe we can, you know, we can monitor the utilization of those hosts. And when host utilization drops to a certain point, live migrate machines off and shut down the host. And then, you know, using Wake on LAN, when utilization goes up and we need to live migrate them back, we can boot up that host machine and live migrate machines back. So, you know, a lot of very kind of simple things that can do some very powerful things can be done with Orchestrator. And then adding Service Manager into that, then, you know, you can, that's where then you can sort of bring in self-service so that if a user wants to reset their password or they want to, you know, request an application. Let's say they need a particular application. They can go into the self-service portal. They can request that particular application. Let's say they need Visio, as an example. Go into the self-service portal, request Visio. It'll create a service request in Service Manager. As the application administrator, you can go in and say, yes, they get this, and click on Approve, which will then trigger Configuration Manager to deploy the application to their desktop. Very, very simple and straightforward. There's really nothing that, you know, obviously there's work done ahead of time to set this up, but once it's set up, it's very time-saving to go in and to be able to, you know, approve these things. And then, you know, even kind of taking it a step further, if you don't have a license for Visio, right, then you can sort of, you know, add that sort of workflow into it and say, yes, we can approve this, but first we need to, you know, acquire the software.
Right.
Or acquire a license. And so there's a lot of potential, a lot of flexibility, you know, both within and outside of the private cloud to really benefit an organization.
Yeah, and I mean, these are normal roles for Service Man, app requests and feature requests and things like that. It just gets really interesting to me, this idea of lighting up whole services around that. The other area where I see a lot of real dynamic behavior for standing up VMs and things is testing new applications, that I want to be able to launch a full load test suite on demand, just light up all that hardware, put it to work, run a set of tests over a couple of hours, and then shut it all back down again.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, has been a very much, as a guy who's done a lot of load testing, has been a very holy grail kind of thing. It's always been too hard to stand up test infrastructure and shut it back down again. And we end up owning a whole complete set of hardware just for that, which is expensive, where the idea that I could run load tests at night on hardware that's otherwise not busy, kind of interesting.
Yeah. And a couple things there that sort of allow you to do that. First of all, within Virtual Machine Manager is this idea now of service templates.
Right.
So you could always have a virtual machine template, but if you want to do load testing of your web service,
yes,
right, there's going to be maybe a network load balancer. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a couple of web front end servers, might be one or two SQL back end servers.
Yep.
And some networking that's going on in between there. And so in order to build up that infrastructure, even if it was virtualized, you'd still have a multiple different virtual machine templates and a lot of configuration that you need to do to get to that point before you could even do your load testing.
So how do you build these templates?
So within VMM 2012, there's the ability to create a service template. Mm-hmm. And when you launch that, it's a matter of, again, just sort of dragging and dropping the different VM templates and load balancers that you've got within your VMM library.
Right.
Onto a design page like you would do in Visio, connecting the different items up, selecting the network for them to use, and then, you know, again, right click and deploy the service template. And each and every time, you know, especially from a testing point of view, each and every time you're getting the exact same configuration, which is definitely nice from a testing. You know that, you know, something wasn't configured differently this time than it was last time.
Right.
And then, you know, having those templates there and something like Orchestrator to automate that and then even automate your testing and the launching of your testing tools, it really does allow you to, you know, to do that where you're going to say, hey, you know what, utilization goes down at night. I can live migrate, you know, the machines running on these four nodes in my cluster down to three nodes and then deploy my service template to this empty node, run all my tests, and, you know, before 8 a.m. rolls around, you know, kill my test environment and let the machines live migrate back.
Right.
So that they get the resources that they need for, you know, day-to-day production performance.
Well, and there's a huge potential when you get into automating elasticity, especially around just regular IT services. Like I look at, I've been studying big Exchange implementations and showing clearly cyclic behavior where, you know, half of a given 24-hour period, all these edge machines are doing nothing. Like there's the, you know, the amount of mail that comes through, it's there are peak times and you end up provisioning for peak, but it's so difficult to spin stuff down when there's no demand that they just leave them laying around. Although admittedly, a VM that's running but not busy doesn't cost you much. It's just a VM. You know, it's not like you have a piece of hardware solely dedicated to that. But often when we're dealing with Exchange infrastructure, it's an awful lot of it. It's pretty darn dedicated and you tend not to use those for anything else. So I'm just really excited this idea of could I start building out through System Center rather than custom software through all these System Center pieces, the ability to literally have Exchange follow its demand rather than purely doing it, you know, arbitrarily or at a fixed state and then being able to put those hardware resources into a pool for other work we could be doing.
Yeah, exactly. And it really allows you to maximize utilization of that hardware. Mm-hmm. You know, something like dynamic memory comes along, right? And it really kind of allows you to maximize the utilization of memory on a Hyper-V host. This kind of technology really allows you to maximize the utilization of your infrastructure, whether it's virtual or physical. And it really allows for some really great capabilities, you know, again with private cloud, a lot of focus on private cloud, but even what you have today, and as you sort of roll into this private cloud, you know, process over the next, you know, 16 to 24 months, it really kind of, there is definitely something that you get out of it today. At the same time, you know, sort of building towards, you know, this dynamic data center with, you know, everything sort of automated and virtualized.
Well, I tend to think, and I think others think this way, when you say private cloud, we're talking about cloud from my custom applications. But can't we apply this equally as well to stuff like Exchange or other, you know, off-the-shelf products?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think cloud and they think application-specific because of things like Azure.
Yeah.
Right? Where Azure, I can take an application that I've written for Azure and run it in Azure, and as utilization of that application goes up, you know, spawn new instances.
Yes.
This, you know, sort of brings it within your infrastructure. And yeah, for in-house applications, you know, you can you get that elasticity, but you can also extend it out to really any in-house service or application.
For sure. And the trick here is OpsMan. With my custom app, I can put in my own instrumentation to decide when I need to expand and when I need to shrink. But if I don't have a custom app, I need some other way to instrument the application to know it needs more resources or it needs fewer resources. And OpsMan gives me that hook.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. OpsMan is sort of, you know, it's kind of the, you know, that's where things start, right? Because that's what the monitoring and really determines, you know, am I at a threshold or not? Mm-hmm. And then from there, it sort of spawns out into the different pieces. You know, really from Ops Manager, it would go to Service Manager. An alert is triggered, and one of the first things you do when you configure Service Manager is you sort of tie those two together. You install the Ops Manager connector.
Right.
So when alert is generated, it creates an incident within Service Manager, and then you can respond to that incident. And then there's the workflows within Service Manager that allow you then to automate some of that.
Right.
And the workflow could be to, you know, when this alert is generated, you know, run this workflow, and that workflow then triggers an orchestrator runbook to run, which would then, you know, tie into Virtual Machine Manager or Configuration Manager to, you know, take over and sort of bring in the next steps needed to resolve that particular alert.
Well, and in Service Manager is also serving as our logging tool, showing in this automated elasticity when we lit additional services up, when we shut additional services down. You know, that whole element of that behavior now is a very clear record. I'm amused at the idea that I have an application that is executing on the self-service portal to help itself.
Yeah. Well, and that's what a lot of people worry about when it comes to all this automation, right? It's like, I need to know what's going on. I can't have things just happening.
And
you have full insight into what's going on, and it's not digging through, you know, log files and bin viewer and things like that. It's clear, plain as day within Service Manager. You see all the different things that have happened, when they happened, and really good insight into what's going on in the organization through that tool.
Well, and I like that common portal approach too, right? And same thing with my load testing scenario. The idea that when a team of developers is ready to do a set of load tests, that they simply submit through ServiceMan requests to do a load test suite, and it could be fully automated, no approval or anything required. They have sufficient privileges. It's just, all right, this is when they requested it. Here's the resources we gave them. The templates kicked in and set all this stuff up. They did their runs, and when they were done, shut it all back down again.
Yeah, exactly. And if it, you know, and if it didn't finish in time, you can, you know, save the state of that infrastructure.
Right.
And you know, when resources are available again, just resume testing. You know, if testing isn't going to be finished in the 8-hour window that you have,
right,
then, you know, you just...
Yeah, there's where the interesting bits come into play. You've tied up all this hardware running a great big load test, and in comes regular workloads. You know, suddenly there's a flood of mail, or there's you know, the website's gotten really busy and it needs to now steal resources from you. And let's face it, your load test is lower priority to revenue generating work. So the fact that, you know, this can be resolved inside a ServiceMan, that these requests come in and a priority is assigned, and, you know, that set of work is then shut down, maybe saved in state, but shut down so this other work can be taken care of.
Yeah, because, I mean, we never really know, you know, when we're going to need those resources, right? I mean, we typically think, you know, yeah, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, that's our busy time.
Yeah.
But, you know, Christmas this year was on a Sunday.
Yep.
Future Shop started their Boxing Day sale on Saturday at midnight.
Yeah.
You know, if that was your maintenance window, that
yep.
was a bad time to leave that in place, right?
Yeah, surprise.
So, yeah. Oops.
Well, and it's one thing to try and get it, you know, on one level you'd say, well, this should have been a discussion ahead of time, da, da, da. Balls get dropped, right? What's more yep. compelling is the OpsMan data. Here are the load on the machines, and here is the priorities for the company. We know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. And just let that take over. And then, yeah, you know what? When it is Christmas Eve and you're at home, you don't need to worry about, you know, somebody phoning you or getting an email alert on your phone saying that, hey, there's a maintenance window going on, but for some reason we're getting a lot of traffic on our website.
Right. Well, and ServiceMan, as I recall correctly, has a great, you know, phone-based UI, so it's pretty easy for that guy from home, if he does want to actually make a call there of shut down this maintenance so that this can be taken care of, he can do it. He doesn't have to go in.
Yeah, yeah, and we've actually published Service Manager, the management console, even through things like Citrix. So you can, you know, you can be at home and you can just open up your iPad or your Galaxy Tab or whatever it is and fire up the Citrix receiver and, you know, click approve if it's something that needs to be approved. And there is a lot of email integration within Service Manager as well. So, you know, when a request is made, you'll get an email and you can actually respond to that email and mm-hmm. approve a request as well.
Right. And yeah, pretty painless way to get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, again, this is not just a simple, you know, install, click, 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 next, finish, and you're done. You know, there's a lot of work to be done in order to get this in place, you know, depending from where you're starting from, you know, different work efforts to get this deployed. But once it is deployed, and even during the process, you'll see that you'll have more and more time freed up by being able to automate a lot of the sort of the basic sort of day-to-day things that kind of get in your way and allow you to sort of accelerate the deployment of this technology.
Sure. And we've done shows in the past about how to get started with System Center. But what I like about this conversation is, okay, you've got System Center, but have you taken full advantage of it? You know, this is not about the individual products. This is about deeper integration between all of those products to take this whole thing to another level. I think that's very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we see with operations managers, an example, is, you know, everybody's gung-ho about it and they put it in place.
Yeah.
And it's deployed, and a week later they look at it and they're like, whew, that's a lot of alerts.
Yeah.
You know, and one of two things happen. They sort of plug away at it a little while and tune it out and try and get it so that the signal to noise ratio down,
yep.
or, you know, they just turn off the console and never look at it again.
Right.
Until something's happened, and then they'll go back and they'll look at Operations Manager from a historical point of view and say, well, how did this happen?
Yeah. And here are 3 weeks of clearly it warning us it was going to fail.
Yeah. You can see, or you can see, you know, over the last 6 months that your log file drive in your Exchange server has been slowly, you know, running out of space.
Yep.
And so, you know, you sort of see these things. Having this stuff, you know, sort of bubble up into Service Manager really is kind of, you know, the push to sort of clean up your Ops Manager environment and kind of get it to the point where you've got that signal to noise ratio, you know, from 200 to 1 down to, you know, maybe 50 to 1.
Right.
And then the critical alerts that you start seeing, you know, being able to build some process automation around that to really kind of automate some of those tasks and close out some of the alerts that are just warnings or information only.
Yeah, get it actually dialed all the way in. But that, my friend, is a whole other show.
Definitely. Ops manager tuning and ops manager, you know, just getting it cleaned up is a task on its own.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an interesting one at that. Rodney, thanks so much for talking to me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always a pleasure.
You bet. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.